this is Amy Miller. Welcome to BCW Presents. Today, we are talking about artificial intelligence. And in the room, I have Gary Estes, who is the Deputy Director of Warren County Telecommunications. We have had this ongoing theme for our podcast where we are dispelling some of the fears that occur in career development and workforce practices. Gary, can you tell me why people might fear artificial intelligence?
Right off the bat, job displacement. First, top of the list.
Hey.
Will it replace my job?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff that goes with that, and all the way down to the potential for malicious use, biases that it may or may not have.
Mm-hmm.
But job displacement is the number one thing I think is everybody would worry about.
And how real is that fear? I mean, I know in our workforce development areas, you know, sometimes there aren't enough people to work in a certain industry. And hopefully AI is helping those industries. But how real of a fear is that we're all going to be replaced?
I think it's going to be a little bit for all. And a couple of reasons I think that. One, the easiest target thing is go from automation, machine learning to true AI. And people group everything under AI. But until you have robotic bodies that mimic the human being, because you need that, because all of our workspaces are designed for humans. So they got to mimic our movements and our heights and how we move around. That has to happen to put the AI in the body to build stuff, replace stuff, carry stuff. So you'll see that humanoids are coming along pretty good. There's four major companies that are really coming on hard and fast. But anything that's repetitive, mathematical, anything that just easily repetitive, you can teach a machine to do. So think about when the Model T came out, replaced horses. Everybody's like, oh my goodness. Okay, 18 years to get full adoption for that. But the iPhone comes out. And smartphones, and then it's 8 years for adoption, and look where we're at now. And look what you have now. You have a personal assistant, you have a small computer, rivals some of your desktop PC capabilities in your hand, and how many people would be lost without their navigation in their hand.
Yeah.
So that's all examples of things that's come along and replaced other jobs. But if I am concerned about anything, it's about people being afraid to try it. The least you know, the more fearful you are. So getting in there early, playing with it, understanding what it can and cannot do. You're familiar with Siri and Alexa and all those. Well, how accurate is some of that? But if you start looking at what they just released, OpenAI just came out with our latest generation, and it has the ability to actually think and reason. It's not 100%, but it's fairly good. And so as you start learning how it works and why it works, it's impressive.
Wow.
So you got robots in your house already. You've got sweepers and stuff like that. So once they take the humanoid form and they can do that, then you already got cars driving themselves or working on trucks, anything repetitive. So for me, that's what I look at, what's going to happen to the people who have the repetitive jobs are the easiest. But workforce-wise, those are also the ones that are open all the time. Look what's happening to our restaurants. They got kiosks and stuff. Why they can't get people to work to take the money, to handle it, to take the order. So you're doing it all yourself.
I actually have been to a restaurant where there was a robot that brought the food to the table.
Yeah. Well, overseas in Japan, China, they're using them in healthcare industries, nursing homes and stuff to deliver meds. And then now with the conversational capabilities, they're keeping them company. And it's incredible. Like if you go look at what OpenAI can do now, especially the last two versions, full-on conversations. It's very impressive.
In what way is artificial intelligence solving problems for businesses and making life better for job seekers?
Automating the things we don't want to do. I mean, truly, you're turfing off all the things you don't want to do. I mean, my wife would love to have a robot to dust for her. She hates dusting. I hate dusting. So that's a joint thing we'd like to get rid of. But you think about how you look for a job now. It's you get on Google, you look for certain things. There are places that are putting AI in to do the interviews. So knowing how that works and what my prompts are, how to ask questions, to answer questions. So they basically contact the company and I'll do the interview, the initial interview with the AI. They record my responses, my prompts, and then it's reviewed by a human. So that whole step is a faster, more automated. But that also leaves up everything good can be used for bad. So what if I'm interviewing with somebody who's not, it's not a real company, and now they're getting all my personal information and all my histories. And so there's a lot of things to think about, just like you would when you go to a website and put all your social security number stuff in, you're applying for a job. Who's really controlling that? Same things. So it's the same fears you have, same cautions, I should say, do with any technology. So whatever we do for good, there's going to be evil out there with it.
Seems like it'd be easy to get lost in that system. You know, if you're not really dealing with humans, like you might be overlooked. Do you have any tips for how to really stand out if you're being evaluated by artificial intelligence?
Understanding the prompt language and how you have to talk to it. Again, knowing more. If I've never done one before, I've never interfaced with it, I've never played with it, then you don't have no concept of what you're dealing with. It's like going to interview in a foreign country. You don't know their culture. You don't know anything what they expect, what their values are. So how would you do a good interview with them without knowing that? So if I'm going to engage, I need to be a partner. I need to know more about the AI itself. How does it think? How does it work? You know, it doesn't have feelings like we do. It doesn't take that in. Then you look at the stages of AI, you know, the rule-based systems we're used to, they're simple, they're easy. Machines were put in industrial age to replace people, and there was the same fear, they're replaced my job, but it hasn't. Then they put robots into manufacturing for welding and stuff, right? It hasn't. Then you get into the understanding-based context, retaining knowledge. What is it, 80-85% of all your known knowledge is on the internet? So it's even rivaling the question, do you need education at the college level when I can go get my basics? If my elementary and high school level education was solid, then I can self-train on whatever I want between YouTube University and the internet. There's so much you can do with that. Now you have an AI that can to pull that for you in the context you want it. So yeah, the more you know about it, the better off you are. And that's kind of my advice. You got to understand what it is capable of and where it's doing. But it's like every other technology, it's a rat race to keep up with. They're moving so fast. So by 2030, they expect to have fully functional autonomous robots. Will they pull it off? Don't know. We've heard that technology curve for a long time, but we've got a much more capable computers, and it's all about money. And there's some reasons why this may not happen, and we can talk about that later on. But that's kind of my thinking is I need to, for me, I want to stay involved with it, understand more of it, because I don't want to get caught. It's coming. It's here. We're already using it. We've adopted it. Our adoption rate's pretty good. Your phone can do so much already, you know?
Probably more than I even know.
Yeah. Your system knows everything about you.
It's listening to me right now, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you brought up a point about there's going to always be some bad actors out there. How does specifically a job seeker know that they're dealing with a bad actor? And what advice do you have for them? Like what to look out for?
I don't know that I have anything specific because it's very difficult because depending on their different flavors, different types, but again, understanding what's going on. And for instance, so like everybody's been through cybersecurity phishing training, right? You get the emails, they tell you what to check. We're looking for bad spelling, bad grammar. Well, now it's being done at AI. It's perfect. And not only does it know you and how does it know you? Well, because your computer, you set it up, you tell it what country and what type of language you want, what dialect, because it knows based on where your region is. It already knows all that. And so the AI is able to go, okay, well, this is how I need to talk to this person. They already know this stuff. So it's almost foolproof. I've seen several that I would have just clicked as real emails. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a challenge for us going forward is to understand what it is. So you're seeing them put things like here's an icon that says this video was made by AI. This photograph was edited with AI. So they just take it off. You know, it's kind of like the padlock on your browser. Do you really know that it's working or do they just produce it and you think you're safe? Mm-hmm. So those are concerns I have. And I don't have any real solid advice with that as this thing moves forward. But it's something I'm definitely looking for and trying to educate myself on how that works. And like most things, our legal system's behind the curve because what will they do? Just take my job. Well, I can't be a plumber without a license. So how do I license a robot? So until they figure that out, so you can bet there'll be lobbyists and legal maneuvers to make that happen. But how far behind is that? You know, does that really happen? So you can't really account that they're going to take your job, which you don't, you know, someplace or another, it's all about the money, right? The money's going to drive and the need. But I don't know if that answers your question or not.
Yeah. And I want to do a shameless plug that if you're not sure about what you're dealing with on the computer, Ohio Means Job Centers are open to help with that, especially when it's applying for jobs or prepping for an interview. If you're not sure if the company's legit, reach out. Come see us. That's something that we can help with. And all Ohio Means Job Centers have computers with the capability of helping you apply for those jobs. So if you're ever not sure at home, feel free to see us. Gary, how do we proceed with caution? Where do we go from here?
For me, I'm concerned about the over-reliance on the AI, because once you get to be able to have all your domestic assistance stuff handled, all stuff, think what happens. You start getting physical atrophy. You're not doing anything. I mean, just the act of washing the car, washing your windows, doing laundry, the day-to-day stuff is a form of physical exercise. Getting up, go to work. Some people working from home see the same thing, right? They're sitting at home. They don't go to stairs because there's no stairs in their life anymore unless they go make that effort to the gym. So that's one of the things I'm concerned about is, you know, not so much everybody gets lazier, but, you know, you lose your, you're not using your mind. You're not learning as much. You're just, oh, ask Google, ask the AI. You're not really thinking it through, but it doesn't have to be that way. But it's, I think it's something something we need to perceive with caution. And then,
well, it reminds me of a movie, WALL-E.
Yeah,
where
absolutely.
Everyone's just in the chair. And I already find myself with, you know, you don't have to necessarily go grocery shopping. You can have that brought to you now. And those are a few thousand less steps in your day, right?
Right. And then if you get a little anxious about it, think about what it takes to make this happen. So the people pushing the AI, the major companies, they're wrestling with power. So it takes one ChatGPT query takes 10 times as much energy as one typical Google query.
Wait, break that down for me.
So when you go into chat and you ask it something, ChatGPT, it takes 10 times as much electrical power to process that than it does one query into Google. And it's because of all the stuff it takes to do it. It takes large data centers at this point in the game to keep AI functioning.
I did not realize
that. So you have
to
access all the data stored. I mean, Google's signaling they're running low on storage space, and they've been trying to put data centers, Microsoft and Google both, in the ocean to help cool it. And there's places in our country where they can't build them because there's not enough power and there's not enough water to cool it.
Wow.
So these are challenges over the world they're having to wrestle with. So it takes a lot to put this together. So just that alone is another hurdle they're going to have to come up with. So while we may have the software wise, and I can do it as an AI on my phone, on my computer, but to actually have it to replace a full-time job. Now, if I'm doing something like writing a song, writing bookkeeping, my wife's a bookkeeper on the side, you know, that's one of those jobs that there's a real good rule set. It doesn't take a lot for an AI to replace that because it's just, here's my numbers, here's the tax law, here's my rules. It's something they can replicate. You see that already in a lot of stuff like QuickBooks and stuff is starting to put AI capability in it. And then if we replace all the jobs, who's going to pay for the goods?
Mm-hmm.
So what's the end game?
Mm-hmm.
So now if nobody's doing anything, they're not buying anything because they don't have any money, they're not working. So somewhere or another, like all other technologies, the workforce will adapt. And we have in every case. What it looks like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking about this subject, it's just one of those things where, you know, you can take two attitudes. You can say, oh, this is the end of the world, or no, I want to learn about it and figure out how I can work with it and leverage it and come out on the other side of that. There's so many places to do that. Just imagine a bicycle that's electric. We already have electric bikes. Now you put some AI in it and they can teach a kid to ride a bike.
Wow.
You know, and then there's the, like I said, overseas, they're using them in nursing homes and stuff as companions. You know, those are some things that make sense. You know, you don't want to lose that human reaction. But my biggest fear is just humans in general getting lazier about how they think about things, the advanced concepts, that human interaction. They still need that. You need it to work. Look what happened through COVID. Everybody lost that human interaction working from home. So just to replace that machine because you can doesn't mean you should. So I think it's something that in society we'll see that wrestled with.
So what I hear you saying is the moral of the story is those who embrace change succeed. So you can't just pretend like it's not happening. We can't just fear it and not want to talk about it, but we really need to learn about it so that we can grow with it. Is that what you're saying?
I agree. Absolutely. The constant learning and improving, stay ahead of the game type mentality is really good. And then the soft skills. So people want to be around people, work with each other. I think they're going to struggle as much as you can do the prompting and you watch how it works. Now you can get up in YouTube and just type in AI replaces my job and look at all the different opinions and some of the demonstrations they've had. And you'll say, oh my gosh, you know, this is really good, but there are still, they still have to get it in the humanoid form. They're almost there. They think they'll have it done by 2027, if not sooner. But again, it's clunky. You got to work that out. But then the soft skill, how are you going to teach that? Right. So we're having this conversation right now. I'm looking you in the eyes. We're talking, we're seeing facial expressions. You're not necessarily going to see that right off the bat with a humanoid robot, but They can put a screen up. They can do. They can mimic a lot of stuff.
They're working on it, though, aren't they?
That's right. And then, you know, I need to be nimble. I need to be agile. You know, I need to pay attention to what's going on, ready to adapt, just like we have in all other technology forms come along. When the PC come along, everybody says, oh, this won't work. And now there's more than one. There's multiple. So everybody's got more than one car. I mean, you know, it took 18 years to adopt the Model T and then become a household standard. And then anticipate what's next. You know, am I paying attention? Am I having these conversations with people? And am I educating myself what's out there? So I can anticipate, well, this is going here, or yeah, it's going to go faster or slower. It depends on what part of the country you are, but somebody's going to fund it too. So like I said, if nobody's buying goods, then, you know, how's the economy going to affect us? And then create leverage. I mean, you got to have, you know, leverage the technology. We do it all the time. So how many people didn't want to do the smartphone? They wanted their flip phone. And now, how many flip phones do you see? Mm-hmm. Even their flip phones are smartphones. And so you got to leverage that technology. So now, why I have a love-hate relationship with this device, it does make my life easier. It does make me more efficient. And I can do a lot more stuff with that one device in my hand than I could without it.
Yeah, I'm having memories of when the PCs first came out in my workplace, and there was people that would prefer to retire than learn how to use PC. But now we think about it, we're all dependent on it. Whether we embraced it or not, everyone's pretty much dependent.
Think about all the movies you've watched and all the cartoons, the Jetsons and stuff that all had the robot assistants and stuff, you know. So now as you get to the place where they've actually got humanoids and they're in tens of thousands, they get the cost down. And then the AI is not going to be cheap to run either. But you just look how fast we're going. So you got the order of change, how fast we're going to change from what we did 10 years ago to the next 10 years to the next 10 years. So, you know, before I retire, I expect to see a lot more AI in the environment because it does make sense in some areas. But how long before I'm going to let a car drive and I'm not going to control that? That's not the era I came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Gary. Do you have any parting words or any last thoughts you want to share?
Nope. I'm glad I'm not an Uber driver, though.
Tell me more.
If you think about it as a car, the car can drive you anywhere. But what's the big thing? Some people love the people who talk to you as an Uber driver. Some people want to be perfectly silent.
Mm-hmm.
Is the same industry going to happen for the planes and trains? I mean, I would not want a non-human navigating my plane. Yeah. But I'm okay with the car. I've been in one and it's intriguing.
Is it true that we have autopilot now? We aren't aware of it.
I don't know about that, but I just know the newer cars, they have the lane controls.
Yeah.
You know, they'll pull you back in. They can self-park. I mean, you know, it's kind of neat to watch, but I can't be fearful of it. It's technology.
Those are great words. Can't be fearful of it. It's technology. We've seen trends like this before. This is just our latest artificial intelligence.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
This is Amy Miller with BCW Presents. Again, I invite you to visit any of our Ohio Means job centers. We can help you with job search, resume development, help you discern whether or not you're working with a good or bad actor on AI. Come see us.